So how are you feeling about your Griswold trip?
So for people that don't know, I take my family on an RV trip every summer. Now, we don't own an RV. We rent an RV. And it's been interesting. I mean, this is our, I think, fourth or fifth year. Last year, we broke down in New York City.
Which is crazy.
Driving through Manhattan. Mm. You don't bring an RV into Manhattan.
Yeah. Most people don't drive to Manhattan.
But when people think, like, my family used to call me the Griswolds, obviously, because of Clark.
Yes.
But I'm not actually the Griswolds. I'm the cousin.
The cousin Eddie. Cousin Aaron.
Cousin Aaron, because... Like, I'm the one dumping the sewer on the side of the road, you know? Yeah. Just
no, didn't the guy have to teach you how to dump the sewer on the last trip? You didn't know how to do it or something?
No, I know how to do it. I've done this since I was a kid. I grew up doing RVs. But it's the best bonding time we have. We're all together. The kids love it. My wife endures it.
Yeah.
We have a great time. We brought the dog this year, so it's always a big win.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so the dog is... It's part of the family now, so...
I love
we're
it.
Officially RV people. One day when I retire... If you buy the Unfair Advantage and enough quantities, one day I will retire and I'll buy an RV.
You'll buy an RV.
And travel the nation.
Then you
can
have one of those extremely tall garages on the side of your house.
That's goals.
Yes.
That is goals.
Do you pull a car behind it?
No, I'm not
that's
that
the
good.
Next level.
Not that good.
You need to go for it.
Well, welcome to episode 5. Of this season of Made for More. We're glad that you're with us today. Hopefully you've been sharing the content. We are talking all things in the principle of leadership off of my book, The Unfair Advantage. The Unfair Advantage is not a leadership book. It is a spiritual growth book that for every single Christian out there, we've been taking it this season, and me and Bobby Sasser have been working hard on making this applicable to leaders. Using some of the unfair advantages and using it for you and your business. And I hope it's been helpful. We had like a really intense topic last week on integrity.
Yeah.
Thanks for the feedback. We love it when you like tag us on Instagram. And so we'll share some of those. And that's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But today we're going to talk about the season in Joseph's life where he was in prison.
Mm.
And many people don't know this. They think he was in prison and it was a wasted time, but he was actually in an Egyptian prison. And in the Egyptian prisons, they pride themselves on how they did education in the prison.
Wow.
So God had a plan for Joseph to be second in command over Egypt, but Joseph wasn't educated for it. So God had to put Joseph in a season where he was in prison getting educated in a place that he would eventually lead. Your plans and your path, it doesn't make sense to you, but it'll make sense eventually.
Yes.
And many times, and I know it's been the case in your life, it's been the case in my life, God will put you in seasons where you don't understand it. You feel like it's wasted, but it's not wasted. And the unfair advantage is when people look at those seasons and go, I don't know why I'm here, but I am going to seize the opportunities while I am here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to use it for a greater purpose. By the way, crazy stat that you might not know about or crazy fact is two of the best-selling books of all time are Pilgrim's Progress and Don Quixote, or Kyoto, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Both of those books were written while the author was in prison.
Wow.
Both of them were written while they were oppressed. They were in a season that looked dark, but they used it for a greater purpose. Mm. So that's your unfair advantage. So I want to talk to a bunch of people today that feel like you're in a dead-end job, you're frustrated, you don't like the season. There's a way that God wants to use it for a greater purpose. I think about, and I want to honor them because they were amazing, but your job before you came, your seasons of before you came to Radiant were so monumental in getting to you to the place you're at now.
For sure.
Tell the people about
Absolutely. I'll talk about the last season. For those of you that don't know, Pastor Aaron and I worked, I served in his youth ministry as a kind of a young adult. That's where I met my wife, Kat, and we served together there for a while. And then we ended up in a small town south of Nashville at a church plant of 2 years. It was 2 years old when we got there as youth pastors. It was a phenomenal, different type of experience because we came out of a large church. Yep. Into a smaller church plant, which was awesome. And then from there, actually, when Radiant was starting to plant, I wanted to move to Tampa so bad. Like, everything in me, Pastor Aaron and I had talked. Radiant was already a vision. It was already becoming a real thing. There was a launch date. And just in praying about it, I really felt like God didn't open that door, which didn't make sense to me at the time because of our relationship, because of me wanting to be a part of it and all this. All that to say, long story short, we moved to Gainesville, Florida, which is about 2 hours north of Tampa, 1 month before Radiant started. And it didn't make any sense. I still even remember the phone call to Pastor Aaron, just like, man, like I'm moving back to Florida. It was like, I felt like I was letting him and the team, that because so many of my friends were a part of Radiant in those days, and I felt like I was letting them down, but I felt like I was being obedient to God by moving to Gainesville. So there's a church in Gainesville that my wife and I were a part of for about 2 years, and it's a phenomenal church. There's so many people, there's small group ministry, they're honoring of God's word, all of these things. They're really, really great. Great church with a lot of impact. However, personally, I felt like a fish out of water. I felt like it was out of my entire life. It was probably the hardest season of my life, and I had I was a campus pastor there, so I had a great job, all of those kinds of things. But I just it didn't feel like it was my thing, And it didn't make any sense. I remember having phone calls and just like trying to make sense of it all. It felt like, what am I doing here? And I was watching from a distance all that God was doing at Radiant and, following from a distance. But yet I was 2 hours away in Gainesville and at this other church, and nothing made sense. So hindsight, looking back on it, I remember Pastor Aaron and I stayed in contact throughout that time, and one of us would usually initiate a text like, hey, you should come visit, or hey, I'd want to, kind of like kept the relationship going. And then finally, in May of 2016, we visited on a weekend and got to experience Radiant for the first time, and sat down that following Monday. We signed on the dotted line. There was no actual HR document back then.
Yeah.
but agreed to make the move, and 1 month later in June moved to Tampa to be a part of Radiant. And it's been a dream come true, and I am forever grateful of God positioning us in a season that did not make sense. I wouldn't say it was a prison, but personally it felt that way. The church didn't inflict any pain, and they were very great. But personally, I was just in this dungeon of what am I doing? Like, why am I here? Like, what's the purpose? And it was that season that taught me so many things about myself, so many things about my leadership, so many things about my calling. It was actually there that I really feel like God refined the calling of which I was going to do, which I'm doing now. And so, and I needed that clarity. As Pastor Aaron said, it wasn't a wasted season at all. Actually, it's the season that God used to confirm so much of what he's doing now. And I'm great. It was hard. And that's what I want people to hear, that it wasn't easy. There was days that felt very long and it felt very hard, but it was exactly what God wanted me to do, and it is exactly what I needed to do.
Many times the darkest seasons are the most developmental seasons in our life.
Yeah.
And I love that with your story, that it was in a dark season that you're working a job, being faithful at it, that God actually started to refine in you exactly what you're called to do.
Yeah.
Because everybody wants that Moses moment where they're having a burning bush where God says, you can go and lead, but they don't want the 40 years in the desert beforehand where they're going, God, I'm just out here just tending sheep. You got to think about that with Moses. Moses for 40 years was being prepared. 40 years he was in Egypt, learning the Egyptian culture, learning education. Then he's 40 years in the wilderness, in the desert, herding sheep before he has his burning bush moment.
Yes.
And the burning bush moment then leads him back to now he's going to be back in the desert with millions of people. And everybody goes, man, I wish I had the moments like Moses where I could just lead and God could speak to me so clearly. They're always after dark, hidden seasons.
Yes.
So be faithful with your dark, hidden seasons.
And I think the thing to look at there, we live in a very instantaneous world.
Yes, yes, we do.
You know, the internet, I remember for those that are, millennials or whatever, post-30, we remember dial-up internet. Yep. You know, I can't even do the sound, but the AOL.
No, it was terrible.
Even like some of the technology of cooking and like, obviously, we can hop on a plane today and be on the other side of the world by, you know, a 13, 14, yep. 15-hour flight. It's, we live in a world where we expect things to be instantaneous. And there's a lot of things that are. And I think we forget, like Moses. You look at David. David received a calling, like anointed and appointed to be this positional authoritative figure
yep.
over a group of people. And he had to wait decades yep. to experience that. You know, I think we forget that if we feel God call us to something, or if we feel like God's given us a word through someone else, or that we have clarity about where we're going, that we expect things to change today or tomorrow. Like yep. literally, I think there's some people that struggle with that, and that the idea of that it's a lifetime in the making, and that it might actually be years.
Like, it might be a long
Moses
time.
Was herding sheep longer than I've been alive.
That is crazy to think about. Part of the book, one of the sections of the book, I actually titled it, It Always Takes Longer.
Mm-hmm.
And people need to understand this. With God, with your leadership, it's everything takes longer than you can imagine it's going to take. But it's also going to be better than you can ever imagine.
Yeah.
So you have to endure the process. Beautiful pictures are developed in dark rooms. You know, wow. Y'all remember the old idea that yeah. you had to take your photos and they had to get developed in the back of Walgreens in a dark room? That was always weird to think about. That was the world we were in before digital pictures. But the only way for it to do it is to go through a dark season. But how you handle the dark season yeah. matters. And that's what I love about your story with the church in Gainesville. I think about that with my time, even as a youth pastor. I was not a good youth pastor. I was not great at it, but I owned it. Mm-hmm. I said, God, you're teaching me something now that I'm going to need then.
Yeah.
I've said it this way for years. We live life forward, but we understand life backwards.
Yes.
And many times it's not going to make sense till you're past it. But once you get past it, you're going to go, now it makes sense. Now I understand why God allowed me to go through these prison moments like Joseph did, where he's in a prison, he's learning Egyptian education. He's having an Egyptian education and he's in this moment and he's probably sitting there going, why am I doing this? I feel like I've been called by God. Mm. I've been rejected. I stood for purity, which by the way, isn't it interesting? He goes into the prison after he made the right decision.
Yeah.
We think the right decision is always going to lead us to promotion. Many times it'll lead us to prisons.
Wow.
And the reason why is because your right decision puts you on the right path, which leads you into a prison moment, which now will refine you so that you can eventually get to your potential.
Mm-hmm.
So be okay with the prison seasons that seem dark, that seem frustrating, because there's something for you to learn in the meantime.
Yes. And I think with Joseph specifically, it's actually a scripture that I love just holistically, is that God meant it for good.
Yes.
And it's tough, you know, in whatever season, you might be in a season right now where you feel that, like, man, why am I here? You know, there's several people on our staff that they feel called by God to do something else.
Yes.
You know, in terms of not that they're discontent now, but that they have an ultimate calling. They feel called to plant a church or to open a business or to be a speaker or whatever it might be. And they have to look at it. And the ones that we love to invest in and help develop and actually champion is the one that goes, hey, I'm actually called to that, but God has me here right now.
Yes.
And it's not a prison, but it is a place before the ultimate calling of development, of personal reflection and evaluation, of refinement. All of these things are being worked out in these seasons. And I think, again, we look, especially young leaders, we want overnight success
yep.
that has taken other people decades. And it's actually, you know, we're seeing that happen where there's actually, ministry specifically, there's like a youth pastor crisis. Because there were so many... you know, back in the day, it was like, hey, if you want to go into ministry and you want to be a real pastor or a church planner, you got to be a youth pastor.
Right.
You know, we were all youth pastors at different times. Now, this generation is like bypassing that. And you have, which again, Paul writes to Timothy and says, hey, don't let anyone despise your youth.
Yeah.
That time in Timothy's life, he would have been expected to have been about 40. Because in the biblical terms,
yes.
a young man was 40 and under. But now a 21-year-old looks at that and goes, why am I not Craig Rochelle?
Oh my gosh, yes. I hear that all the time.
And it's like, I think just realizing that that God has you in a season. Again, it's not a prison. It might be a tough season. It might be difficult, but God is using it. And it's actually the thing that you're, and you do this so well, is that you're actually going to reference back, and it's the season that you're in is actually the season that you're going to talk about eventually.
Absolutely.
In the future.
So how do we make it an unfair advantage? Here's what I've realized in difficult seasons. How do I make them an unfair advantage? I think there's two questions that you need to ask yourself. And these are two questions I go through anytime. Anytime I'm in a room, I find this all the time. I'll like go to an event and I'll be sitting in the room and I'll ask myself, I'm like, why am I here? It seems like a waste of my time. Two questions. Here's the first one is, what has God brought me here to learn?
That's
because there's something to learn that you can only learn in that moment. So what has God brought me here to learn? And then here's the second one. Who has God brought me here to connect with?
Wow.
What am I to learn? Who am I to connect with? Do you know who Joseph connected with in the prison? Remember the butler, the person that was connected to the king?
Yeah, the cupbearer.
He would have never, the butler, whatever I call it.
Yeah, it's the same thing, guy. Same difference.
He would have never gotten connected to the king if he didn't go through the prison.
Yes.
There is some person that you're going to get connected with in your darkest seasons that is going to be influential to bringing you to the potential
Absolutely.
That God has for you.
Yes.
So, I mean, I think about that with your who you worked for in Greenhouse. Like, God uniquely developed that relationship with you and him. You were able to learn from him.
Yes.
There was something for you to learn, and there was somebody for you to connect with.
Absolutely.
I'll give you a crazy one. Right before we launched the church, we were so busy. We had a lot going on. And I really felt like I was invited to go to Orlando. There was a big event that was happening in the Assemblies of God. And I was invited to go and just sit at the table like and hang out at this event. And I was like, I don't have time for this.
Mm.
But I knew it was something God was leading me to do. So I drive out there. This is a month or two before the church launches. I go there and I'm sitting at this meeting and nobody's even paying attention to me. It's pointless. I'm going, I am wasting my time. I have to plan a church. I have to start this thing in a month. I am wasting my time. I remember sitting through the whole thing. It was a disaster. Anyway, long story short, I go to leave. And as I'm leaving, my old pastor growing up is in the expo hall. And I'm walking through and I see him. And I say, hey, pastor, you don't know me. I grew up in your church. It's a big church. And I was telling him, I said, well, I'm starting a church out in Tampa. And I'm so excited. And God's calling me. And as he's talking to me, he's kind of like looking over my shoulder because there's a bunch of people that he wants to talk to. And I kind of got the hint. He didn't want to talk to me.
Yeah.
So I kind of end the conversation because I'm socially aware that, you know, I'm kind of people smart. So I'm like, okay, this guy doesn't want to talk to me.
Yeah.
I leave and I am venting to God.
Wow.
I have wasted my day. I drove to Orlando. I sat in this meeting. The one guy that would care about me doesn't care about me. I've wasted my time. And as I'm driving home, I get a phone call and it's from the guy that invited me to the event. He said, hey, where are you at? And I said, oh, I took off. I had to go home. He said, oh, there's a guy I want to introduce you to who wants to support a church planner. Let me let you call him. I said, yes, sir. So I call him. His name is Pastor Carl. I call him and he answers and he said, hey, tell me a little about your church. I said, you know what? I'm planning this church in Tampa, blah, blah, blah. I give him the story. He goes, wait, were you just in the expo hall? Were you just talking to Pastor John in the expo hall? I said, yes, sir, I was. He goes, I was standing there. I was the person behind you waiting to hear. I heard your story, and as I'm hearing your story talking to him, I'm going, if I ever got in contact with that guy, I'm going to give him some money.
Wow.
And he wrote us a $10,000 check
to
our church.
Wow, come on.
And that showed me there's nothing wasted with God.
That's so good.
So you don't have a clue how God's going to use this season. But while you're in it, the two questions to ask, what am I supposed to learn, and who am I supposed to connect with? Because there might be some person that's in that prison season with you that God's going to use to build the potential in your life, but you got to have that relationship.
I love that. And I would love, you know, just because I know we've kind of given some practical application of how to deal with some of this. But for the people that you feel like maybe feel like they're the underdog.
Sure.
And it's like, I hear you, Pastor, and I hear you, like that's great, but it has been a lengthy amount of time.
Yep.
Like I am kind of losing my grace for the wait.
Yep.
What would be your advice?
That's a great question. We're all waiting for something that we haven't gotten yet. We've been praying for our broadcast site. We've been praying for now 10 years for a building. 10 years.
Yeah.
For our East St. Pete campus, we've been praying for 5 years for a building for that. You know, there are things that are going to take a long time with God.
Yes.
What I do in those seasons is I do two things. If I'm waiting longer than I think I should, here's the two questions to ask. Is there an opportunity that I'm missing or a lesson to learn that I'm not learning yet? Because God will keep you in the wilderness until you learn the lesson you need to learn. You got to think about that. Yeah. You got to think the children of Israel came out of Egypt. They're going towards the promised land. It was supposed to be a 21-day trip. It took them 40 years. It was 40 years because they were disobedient in the wilderness.
Wow.
So if I'm waiting longer than I want to wait, is there something I've done wrong? Yeah. Is there a lesson I'm supposed to learn that I haven't learned yet? And I'm telling you, God will keep you there because he's more interested in doing something in you than doing it through you.
That's
and
good.
So until he does it in you, he's not going to allow you to move on. The second question, the thing I'm going to ask is I'm going to go, do I have the grace for the wait?
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't, I'm going to pray for the Lord to give it to me. Because if he's got me in a season where he hasn't blessed me or moved me on yet, then he has to empower me to sustain this thing. I'm okay doing my part, but God's got to do his part.
Yeah.
And God's part is he sustains us in the wait. He does. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up like wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. What is that? I'm going to wait upon the Lord. I'm going to let the Lord recharge me in this time. So there's things that are out of our control. And I got to, in those moments, surrender them and say, God, give me strength for them.
That's good. I love that. I want to, just to end, those that are listening that might be serving on someone's team.
Yep.
And how do you know, I want to use your example of maybe Brownsville to the church plant.
Sure.
Because you could have had a very great future at the previous church.
Yep.
How do you know when it's time to move on?
Wow, that's a great question. I think very clearly the Lord removes your grace for the house, removes your grace for this season. You've worked yourself out and you found a successor. There's no success without a successor. You have learned the lesson that God wanted you to learn. I think those are some key things in that. And that there's a clear next step of what the Lord has for you. I think this idea that we're going to resign and then maybe something will open up, like to me, I'm like, no, have a clear, like, let the Lord lead you into the next step that he has for your life. So when I was at Brownsville, it was so clear. I wasn't done with Brownsville. I knew what God had for me next.
That's good.
You know, it's the same thing with Greenhouse. It wasn't like, I'm done with this place. I better go find something else. It was God made it clear what was next.
Mm.
So I think there's a different approach to that. But I'll just say this. We're all interim pastors. We're all interim leaders.
Yeah.
We're all passing through this thing. We're all temporary parents.
Wow.
It's not your permanent thing. Like, we're all passing through. And we're all going to transition to something else eventually.
That's good.
So my thing is, if God's got you in this place for a year or 10 years, if he's got you as CEO as a year or 6 months, do it so unbelievably well. And then you're going to constantly go back to, what is God teaching me and who is he connecting me to? Mm. Because both of those are connected to your future.
I love that. I love that. What a way to end. You know, why does God have me? What am I trying to learn? And who am I trying to connect with? Make sure and write that down. Go over it as you're going through your quiet times. Like, make that a part of your life. Like, God is doing something big in all of your lives. Again, thank you for being a part of the Made for More family. Thank you for tuning in. Make sure and subscribe. Make sure and share. We always look forward to hearing your feedback, and we will see you next week.